It is such an honor for Sharon and I to be back here. You guys just honor us over and over, honor upon honor upon honor upon honor. And yeah, you bless us so much. And it's a tremendous privilege just to stand before you. Yeah. For more reasons than one, one big reason is that something very, very unique has taken place at Restoration Fellowship over the years. And the whole process of Justin coming on board and taking the place of pastoral leadership and everything is just phenomenal. And to be able to come back and still be dad in the house is tremendous, yeah. And I've said it to other people, I'm going to say it to you again. My ceiling is his floor. Picture that. The ceiling that Sharon and I were able to bring this church to as far as maturity and walking into spirit is his floor, he and Tara together. And so it's a phenomenal outpouring of God's presence. And I think even today as we move through this teaching, you'll recognize some things again and be reminded of some things. Really, I'm not going to say anything new today, but there's going to be a lot of reminders. Reminders of what God is showing us and has shown us. Yeah. What he is restoring, what he is building. Yes. So I'm just going to start with the notes, and we'll just see where God takes us here this morning, because there's far more in my heart than there's time to share. But I got a kick out something that came to my mind. Justin was talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and he's going to be, you know, he loves horses. And so we could call him the circuit riding preacher. The Sermon on the Mount. Get it? Okay. I know that was sad, but yeah, and I guarantee you it's going to be good. It is good. Yeah, I love to listen to his teaching. It just motivates me. It just makes my heart explode with worship and praise unto the Lord, what God is showing to us. So, introduction in your notes. I'll read that. It says, God has created us so his potential could be released in and through us. His potential. Anything less than that would deny the purpose of God. The potential of God's creation is determined by its purpose. Underscore that point. The potential of God's creation is determined by its purpose. And then this note from creation itself. Everything in creation is designed to function on the simple principle of receiving and releasing. If you don't get anything else, get this today. Everything that God has given to you that you have received is not for your keeping. It's to be released. So you have the principle of receiving and releasing. That's both tangible and intangible things. Yeah. Material and immaterial. Everything that God gives to us, everything. And let's face it, nothing comes to us that doesn't come from the hand of God. Everything that is given to us is given for one purpose and one purpose only. Release. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. One way or another. Always give it away. Plants receive oxygen. We receive carbon dioxide. We release carbon dioxide. Plants release oxygen. We release carbon dioxide. The planet would die without the release of these two things. Notice that. Notice that. Without receiving and releasing, the planet would die. Mm-hmm. More ways than one. God has designed us with responsibility. Responsibility. To release what he has naturally and supernaturally given. We are the only ones who can stop that release. Just by the cares of this world, and let's face it, everywhere we turn, the cares of this world wants to stop that. The enemy wants to use the cares of this world to stop the release of the supernatural from us. Yeah. There's something that I'm going to share with you a little bit later on the whole issue of the favor of God, but I'm going to make this statement, and I'll say it right now. You know your mind is being renewed when the impossible looks logical. You know your mind is being renewed when the impossible looks logical, and we are to reason from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. So, in all of the responsibility that God gives to us, we do our reasoning from heaven to earth. That takes a lot of stress off living on planet Earth when you live with that principle in mind. Yeah. Okay, number two, Roman numeral 2. Lack does not exist with God. The blessing of being heirs, A in your outline. Paragraph 1, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, there is never a lack from God's perspective. Never, never, never a lack from God's perspective. Why? Because I have the mind of, because we have, you have, the mind of Christ, I have, you have, we have God's perspective. I think what God thinks, I say what God says, I do what God does. Everything that is heaven is mine now when I choose it. Everything that is heaven is mine now, yours now, when you choose it, when we choose it together. It is always available. Always available. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Just a couple of verses of scripture. Ephesians 1, 11. In him, that is in Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance. I'm going to say something about that inheritance here in a minute. Being predestined. The word predestined just simply means pre-designed destiny. The pre-designed destiny according to the purpose of him, that is Jesus, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So what happens? God has given to us the privilege, the honor of being heirs of him. And we to him. Us to him. An amazing principle beyond our understanding. But here's something that I want to share with you that is a little bit extra. It's not in your notes. It's the difference between favor and love. So many times, even in my own life, I always kind of got a foggy concept in my mind when I compared favor and love when it came from God. What is favor? Favor is honor, blessing, distinction given to someone without necessary explanation. It is a preferential treatment. It denotes its acceptance, approval, and pleasure. That's favor. So what is love? Love is what God gives to us. Love is equal to all that God is, but his favor has mysterious preference. And the illustration I want to use from Scripture to help you understand this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You have one person. Did God love Mary as much as he loves you? Yes. But did God give to you the same favor he gave to Mary? No. Just think about that for a minute. You have one person for all of eternity. given one act of favor that no one else would ever receive, and it never would be repeated again. Just think about that. Amazing. The favor of God upon Mary. Now, here's something mysterious that I want you to grasp for yourself. There is something that God has given, is giving, and will give to you that is called His favor upon your life, that is unique to you, that no one else will ever receive. Believe that, receive that, live by that. And as you seek the Lord daily in your life to get Him to reveal Himself to you and His favor upon you, ask the Lord often, what's the unique favor that you have given to me that's different than anything else in anyone else's life? He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. Yeah. So that's just a little tidbit that I wanted to give to you. Back to your notes. Number B. Be in your outline. The power of spoken words. The power of spoken words. Choose to speak life words. This comes back to that series that you guys did with the Cleansing Stream Seminar concepts and the whole issue of the power of the tongue and everything. I think Clint and Lisa shared on that concept. Powerful. But I just want to reiterate that whole concept again. Choose to speak life words. Why? In John 6, nothing happens until something is spoken in God's kingdom. Nothing happens until something is spoken in God's kingdom. Let's turn to John 16. John 16, verses 12 to 14. Let's look at these verses. To build on this concept. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak. Notice the word speak used twice there. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. He is speaking to us. What was the principle I just laid down? Nothing happens until something is spoken in God's kingdom. Everything that God reveals to you is not just for you. Everything that God reveals to you is not just for you, because the Holy Spirit is taking what He hears from Father and He reveals it to you, and you are able to put it in capsule form so it makes sense to you, so that you can understand what needs to be spoken to someone else. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God until something is spoken. The moment I trusted Jesus, the moment you trusted Jesus by faith, God initiated your inheritance, my inheritance, family, bloodline, covenant, DNA, and all of that is ours. And then that next paragraph line, which is so significant. In the kingdom of God, inheritance is what you own now that isn't yet. Every day you are activating your inheritance. Every day you are activating your inheritance. The Holy Spirit is showing to you, revealing to you your purpose, your value, your place, the words that you are to speak, the things that you are to do. And so speak it, declare it, live it. Why? Because you want to activate the kingdom of God in your circle of influence that's around you. That's why. Never keep to yourself what God has revealed to you or shown to you. speak it to someone, because that makes the kingdom of God come alive. Call out your destiny inheritance and your inheritance. Let's turn to Romans 4:17. This is a very familiar passage of scripture as it relates to as it relates to Abraham. Yeah. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him, that is Jesus, whom he believed, God, he believed God, who gives life to the dead, calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Do you have that same authority and that same power? I'm seeing most of your heads go like this, so that must be an affirmative, okay? All right, what I want to do is I want to read this out of the Passion translation. I just got onto this several months ago, and it's really good. Here's what it says in the Passion. He is our example and father, for in God's presence, he believed that, that is Abraham. Abraham believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't even exist yet. What does God want you to do with the revelation that he gives to you? To call into being things that don't even exist yet. Yeah. Against all odds, don't become discouraged if you think the odds are stacked against you. Because in the kingdom of God, there are no odds. You got infinity against one. It's phenomenal. God is bigger than this. I got to keep telling myself that over and over and over, no matter what the this is that I'm struggling with in my life at the moment, whatever the this is, I have to say to myself, God is bigger than this. God is bigger than this. He's bigger than this. Now, God, what are you trying to say? So when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. So when you come to that point, Justin, Tara, you're in this time where it looks hopeless. It looks like something isn't going to happen. I guarantee you, something is happening right now. This story is not over yet. This story is not over yet. It's phenomenal what God is up to. Yeah. He took God at his word. Abraham took God at his word. Justin and Tara took God at his word. Has God changed his mind? No. About how he's going to bless you? No. It's going to happen. Whatever it is that he has in mind, he is going to fulfill it. Yeah. He's going to bring it to pass, just like he did with Abraham. He has to, or he's inconsistent. The next paragraph. In John 2, this is something so powerful to me. When I first caught this, it just changed my whole concept of this particular time in Jesus' life. Jesus said, my hour, the transition into the miracle ministry, has not yet come. But under the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God, God said to Mary, whatever he says, do it. That was a moment in time revelation. A once-in-a-lifetime of Jesus revelation that came to Mary, and he said, whatever he says, do it. And by revelation, Mary knew it was time, and so she spoke into being. Get this, she spoke into being the beginning ministry, miracle ministry of Jesus. And immediately, what did Jesus say? Go fill the water pots. Don't underestimate the power and authority of the Word of God that he speaks to you and with you and in you, and you know is supposed to land on someone else. Because what it may be doing is is releasing a moment in that person's life that will never be repeated again. Yeah, something that powerful. Don't underestimate what God has to say through you to someone else. In the kingdom of God, you will be activated by God to initiate something out of your available inheritance into someone's life. Be ready for rapid fire suddenlies. Rapid fire suddenlies. Rapid reproduction. Yes. It's that powerful. I got something I want to share with you. The first time I gave this particular message was in January of 2015, not knowing what God was going to be doing in August of 2015, when Justin was going to step in and take the place of leadership as pastor over this church. But during that whole time, early in 2015, we did a prayer and fasting time in January, praying for the church and the community and everything. And the Lord gave to me 21 days of blessing prayers. And I have to admit, I didn't make these up myself. That Google helped me, okay? Yeah. But this was the first day that the Lord revealed to me, day one. And it was based on a promise from 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10, the prayer of Jabez. And this is what it says. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I would not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. And this was the prayer of blessing. Father, bless me, bless us, and all these that I know at Restoration Fellowship and Love. Bless us with living honorably in every way. Bless us by enlarging our borders. Bless us by extending our lives and influence for your greater purposes. Bless us that your hand may be with us so that we may walk worthy of our calling and your calling in our lives and our calling in your life. Bless us with protection from the evil one and all that he tries to bring against us. Grant these requests for the sake of your kingdom and for your glory. Here's the blessing that I want to leave with this church today. God is about to explode again. Something coming out of our inheritance to expand the ministry of this fellowship to be even more obvious to the nations. So what I'm saying is, watch for the territory to be enlarged. Watch for the territory to be enlarged, tangible, intangible, yes. Be ready for suddenly moments of revelation. I am so encouraged by what I see happening in this fellowship with the new blood, the fresh blood that has come. Why am I encouraged by that? Because part of the vision that we had, how that God, you remember Mark? Remember elders? Jim, Rod, you're here. How we used to talk about, Ben, how we used to talk about how God was just exploding a ministry of raising up people to be trained here to be sent out. And Matthew, as I listened to you last week, share God's heart that came to you. All at once, I was reminded, God says, this is it. This is another reminder. Be reminded, Al, God is still bringing people into your midst to expand what God wants to do, to raise up people. And that whole school of ministry, whatever that looks like, whether it's intentional or unintentional, there's a school of ministry being raised up in this church to cause people to know that their inheritance in Jesus is being expanded to the ends of the earth. Never lose sight of that, Rory. Never lose sight of that. Yeah. There's something about to explode again in that particular arena. I don't have any details on it. I know nothing. Colonel Klink. Okay. That takes, some of you don't know what that is. All right. Yeah. All right, back to your notes. Roman numeral 3, potential manifests in love relationships. This is reiteration of what Justin has preached. And I would encourage you, go back and re-listen to that love series that Justin taught. Go back and re-listen to that love series that, isn't that what it was titled, Justin? Do you remember? Something about the whole love of God thing. Yeah. A in your outline. God invites us into a love relationship, the foundation of our ministry. Everything Father desires flows out of this. Love is how he expresses his pleasure. God loves us in the same way that God loves God. God loves us in the same way that God loves God. The measure of God's love, his affection for Jesus, is the same measure of his love for us. Get that, the same measure. That's John 15:9, by the way. We'll look at that in a minute. This is the ultimate statement of our worth and potential. We are God's favorite, his desire, his pleasure. Let's look at John 15:9. It's another reminder, just quickly. As the Father, Jesus says, as Father loves me, I love you. The same love, the same kind, the same amount, the same dimension of God's love for me is available to you. Nothing less, nothing more. Our greatest delight, next line, our greatest delight is to know we are the fulfillment of the delight of God. Say this with me. I am the fulfillment of the delight of God. Tell yourself that every single day, and then tell somebody else that. You are the delight of God. The favor of God is upon us. Yeah. A unique favor that no other church has. And folks, you know that I taught you many times that church is not about numbers. We called it nickels and noses. It's not about money or people in the sense of numbers. What is it about? It's about the calling of God's love being expressed through us. And what I love to see, and I see it every week that we've been visiting here, people getting together in little groups and just loving on each other. That is so encouraging, so encouraging. Yeah. Let's go on here. B, Jesus ministered unto Father out of an obedience motivated by love. We'll talk more about that in a minute. God is looking for that same love from us. Our highest calling is to move God's heart with our love, which isn't really our love, it's His love. It's God's love for Himself through us. Picture that. That's a mystery. Because I am loved by God, my desire is to be a lover of God, for God, with God, through God. Father longs for holy intimacy for His own pleasure and yours. Ephesians 3 talks about that. We won't even take time to look at it. You look at it. What is our purpose and potential? Question. And incidentally, this paragraph is taken from Graham Cook's notes and one of his teachings, and I just love what Graham Cook teaches on this. He says, we are here, number one, by divine appointment, number two, by Father's design, and number three, for His good pleasure. And then this statement, this really tickles me. God is ecstatic about you. God is ecstatic about you. God is hooked on ecstasy, and ecstasy simply is two words, ek and stasis. It means to cast oneself out of oneself. God was beside Himself when He created you. God was beside Himself. He was so ecstatic when He created you. He looked at you when He created you and He said, wow! You know, literally, you could look in the mirror every single day and just say, wow! I know every one of you do that all the time, right? Yeah. You know, the reason why we don't do that is because we tie it somehow to something that is fleshly ego and not of God. But guess what? In the presence of God and all the saints for all eternity, what will we be saying? One of the things we will be saying to each other is, wow! Yeah. I love it. I'm going to take time for this. Yesterday, we've been taking care of grandkids. We got four grandchildren, and the youngest is Reese. She's just a little over two. Yesterday, Sharon got a picture of her on her phone. You'll have to have her show it to you. But here's Reese. She's got her shorts on, and under her shorts, she's just a little over two. She's got her diaper on. And she got a hold of one of her sisters, her 9-year-old sister, Jasmine, got a hold of one of her pair of undies. And so she pulled those undies on over the top of her shorts. And so and they're inside out, okay? And here she is in all of her glory, you know? And we got this picture, and as soon as I saw this, I said, wow! She had a pair of shoes on, but they didn't match. One tennis shoe and one sandal, and the sandal was on the wrong foot. You remember those days, Tara? But here she is. Wow! Sharon's sister looked at that picture on a text, and she said, she fits right in with Hollywood. So here's the God was beside Himself when He created you. He took of Himself and created you, me, us, to release His own potential. Say this with me. I am the potential of God Himself. You can't be any less than that. See in your outline, Jesus calls us to love, to minister as He loved or ministered. When we love Father with Father's love, then we have the potential to love ourselves and each other with the same love. This is God's call to ministry. And under that, I have three ways that you can manifest your love to God. And I'm going to start with the third one first. You can minister to God out of fear, shame-based obedience. Fear of being put to shame. Obedience to God out of fear that God will shame you or shame me if I don't. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. Shame-based obedience. We use it on each other, by the way. The second one, duty-based obedience. Let's face it, sometimes duty is the best we can offer. Obligation is the motive, not affection. At times, this may be all I have to give. Let's face it, the Scripture does say, I ought to love my brother. That's a statement of obligation. But that isn't the motive for obedience. The true motive for obedience that came out of Jesus and comes out of Jesus' life is affection, love-based obedience, where we experience the affection of Jesus or God in relationship with him, and then we want to give back to him. A God-loved-based person, a God or a love-based person will do anything for more love. So what's the cycle of intimacy or love or affection? The last paragraph, and we're really coming full circle right back to paragraph one. There's a love relationship of, from, and to God, and it takes God to love God. It takes God's love to love God. All that begins in heaven ends in heaven when God's love is the motive. Love from God, to God. God gives us his love and we give it back. God expects this as proof of his investment in us. He then gives his love through us to others. It multiplies and we give it back to God in our reasonable service to God through our lips and our life. Because this is such a special day, Benny, and I have purple on just for you. Benny, I want to speak a blessing over you out of one of these blessing prayers that I put together many, many years ago. As you're celebrating your 100th birthday very soon, and we celebrate with you. Here's the word. This is from Hebrews 6, 10 and 11. God is not unfair. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped people and continue to help them. Continue to help them. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. I'm just about out of here. How am I going to help people after I'm gone? Just remind yourself now. What are you doing? What have you done for these many, many years that you've known Jesus? And listen, I want to congratulate you. You stuck with this ministry, this church. You stayed with us. 28 years ago when we came, Sharon and I sat on at your hearth in your living room at your house and shared our story. And you, Sandy was a deacon at that time. And the leadership said, I think we want that guy to come pastor us. Thank you for staying with us all these years. And I just want to say to you, God bless you. Bless you for all that you have prayed would come to fulfillment through this place. Prayers that are still stacked up in heaven that haven't been answered yet. And they're probably a mile thick. But one at a time, and one of them, the Jeremy that we were going to hear from this morning, did. I know you have poured prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer and finance after finance after finance into that young man's ministry. Yes, and there's more to come. Yeah, there's more to come. Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you, sweetie.
I love you. When I grow up, I want to be just like you. God is not unfair that he will not forget your work. Yeah. Yeah. There was one other that I wanted to give. We got to close here real quick. I'm supposed to speak this to somebody. Yeah. Patrick. Carol. Patrick, this blessing is for you. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. A generous man will himself be blessed. Proverbs 11, 25 and 22, 9. And this was the prayer for that particular day. Father, and I'll personalize it for you and Carol. Father, bless Patrick and Carol and those that they know and love. Bless them with generosity, with certain knowledge that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Bless them with giving what they have decided in their hearts to give, not reluctantly, not in response to pressure, for God truly loves a cheerful giver. I don't know what it is that God is doing right now, Patrick, in your business, but somehow I got the sense is that he is expanding something and it is about to explode into something that you have never seen anyone do before, including yourself. Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. Yes. Hang on a minute. Let me get the mic. Patrick is one of our friends from Dallas. We'll forgive him, won't we?
Fort Worth, brother. Fort Worth.
Fort Worth. Okay.
I was at a boat show with a group of men that men's group, and we're Bible study, and we fish together. And I was visiting with one of the new brothers, and he introduced me to his partner. They're both IT guys, which is really strange because they've started a lure company. But anyway, when we were finishing our little fellowship, I was getting ready to walk away. This brother's partner, who I just met, said, can I give you a word from the Lord? And I said, well, sure, absolutely. And he said, I don't understand what this is. He said, but I believe that the Lord, using an IT for comment, he says, I believe the Lord is going to download something into your very being having to do with your business that you've never even thunk of.
Wow. See what that brother did by giving Patrick that word? He heard from God. Out of the inheritance that he saw God have in Patrick and blessed him with that. That's what we are to do, be doing every single day of our life. Justin, come. Yeah.